You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. Thank you so much for joining us today. And the program today was recorded earlier this week because today is the 4th of July, and hope that all of you are home celebrating with your families and friends and doing all those amazing things that we get to do on this July 4th weekend. And just want to welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning. And our brother Sean back again.
Happy Friday.
Amen. So we just Yeah, we just want to talk a little bit about...
But about the original, July 4th, 1776.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, just a smidge about that, and then we'll get into whatever the Lord has put on each of our hearts. But we just want to... I know for me personally, I did kind of a crash course on reading about the Declaration of Independence and, you know, the Constitution and everything pertaining to that. And it's quite shocking to realize how much I do not remember about it. You know, there's some really important things, and I just appreciate the people that keep up on it. There's ministries, there's other people who keep up with the history of this nation, and thankfully for them that they will keep continuing to do that, to keep all of us abreast on not forgetting our past and not forgetting the sacrifice that people made to form this nation.
Yes.
You know, the people that came over from England were trying to escape. They wanted religious freedom. That was the main reason for leaving, was to have religious freedom. And we just want to thank and remember all of those, the early settlers and the forefathers and everyone that was involved and everything that went into creating the Declaration of Independence, beginning the birth of this nation, which is the greatest nation on earth.
Yes, amen.
And it is Independence Day. The significant aspect of the Declaration of Independence is that it changed the American, quote, rebellion, unquote, against Great Britain into a revolution. Started off as a rebellion, but ended up being a revolution. And it took people that had a lot of guts and grit and determination to bring forth this nation. We have some snippets about the nation being formed, Nanette. Just some facts,
Well, although Thomas Jefferson is often called the author of the Declaration of Independence, he wasn't the only person who contributed important ideas. Jefferson was a member of a five-person committee appointed by the Continental Congress to write that declaration. And the committee included Jefferson, of course, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman.
Okay, another little snippet. No one who signed the Declaration of Independence was born in the United States of America. The United States didn't even exist until after the Declaration was signed. However, all but eight of the signers were born in colonies that would become the United States.
I think I'm going to have to take a class. You know, we have Brenda McMenamin, who is has a program on the station, a three-minute program that kind of circulates throughout different times of the day. And this is what her whole ministry and her teaching is about, the Constitution, about the Declaration. She's very knowledgeable about every single aspect of it. So I think I may have to sign up for one of her classes. Let's see, some of the most famous lines in the Declaration of Independence were inspired by Virginia's Declaration of Rights by George Mason. Mason said, "All men are born equally free and independent." Jefferson's Declaration of Independence said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Mason listed man's natural rights as enjoyment of life and liberty, with the means of acquiring and possessing property, and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety. Jefferson listed man's inalienable rights as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And also in the summer of 1776, when the Declaration was signed, the population of the United States is estimated to have been about 2.5 million. Today, the population is more than 300 million. Can you imagine only 2.5 million people in the nation? That's really interesting. And the oldest signer of the Declaration was Benjamin Franklin, who was born in 1706 and therefore was already 70 at the time of the Declaration. Franklin went on to help negotiate the Treaty of Alliance with France in 1778 and the Treaty of Paris, which ended the Revolutionary War in 1783. Amen.
Wow.
So those are just a few little snippets about the Declaration. So as I am going to invest myself in gaining more knowledge about the history of the nation, I grew up in Massachusetts, where a great deal of all of this started. You know, Lexington and Concord were 15, 20 miles from where we lived. And Walden Pond and Paul Revere's Ride came kind of close to the town we grew up in. Of course, that was the country back then. So the way he went west from Boston. And it's just a lot of great history in Massachusetts. And mm-hmm. they do keep it alive. If you go to the city, they've got the Freedom Trail, and you can follow that around, and it takes you to all the different points in the city where things happen, Paul Revere's house, the USS Constitution, which is the oldest battleship that is still running. Mm. And that's it's really old. It's very cool to go on there and just see how they have preserved it. But anyway, we just want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July and just be grateful for the freedoms that we have in this nation.
Amen.
Yeah, when you're talking, I can't just help of the sacrifices that were made, you know? Mm-hmm. Like every walk of life, there was a sacrifice being made, even if it was for just the simple family, you know? The sacrifice of doing without, mm-hmm. you know, doing without for so long, living in that kind of oppression, willing to die. You know, just all the people, the mailman, right, that delivered like the messages, the important messages one to another, because back then we didn't have the transportation we have. I mean, I'm just thinking back of all the ways that someone sacrifice their mm-hmm. life for this freedom that we take for granted every mm-hmm. single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we take for granted that we have Bibles in this nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that in itself. We take for granted that Jesus died on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. Right?
Unfortunately.
I mean, there's so many things that I can mention right now, but yeah, I'm just picturing, you know, like a timeline of all these ways that people have died and they were willing for the greater good. They were willing on behalf of the other person. And people who were involved in the Constitution, they had to lay things down mm-hmm. in order to get to that place of agreement. I mean, yeah, they had to lay things down. Yeah. They weren't thinking self. They had to remove self, just like we do. Mm-hmm. With one another, you know, and in Christ, remove self from the picture. And so that's what I'm just really meditating on right now. Just every single person, mm-hmm. young, old, you know, who put their part. Like these words carry many. Like these black and white words on the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I feel like they carry every single person in our history.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Well, they knew what they had where they lived, okay, Britain, and they knew that they did not want to live under that governmental control, right? They wanted more for their families. They wanted freedom, and we know that those that left their country, left like Abraham left his country. God told him, leave mm-hmm. your country. I'm going to send mm-hmm. you out. He didn't know where he was going. The people that left their countries, it was a great sacrifice because they had no clue where they were going. You know, they ended up on this continent, this land, mm-hmm. Which is now North America. But they knew what they wanted for their families. They knew what they wanted for their children and their grandchildren and their future lineage. They wanted freedoms, freedom and liberty. Liberty to worship God, liberty to live a safe and peaceful life. you know, if you read, I mean, it's a big thing, the Constitution, but everything is about protection. It's about freedoms. It's about peace. It's about law and order, but it's for the people, right? It's for the people, about the people, for the people. It wasn't about the government and for the government and what was best for the government. Mm-hmm. It was a totally different mindset mm-hmm. that they were seeking. And, you know, they were seeking God, I believe, and saying, God set us free. What do we do? Where do we go? And I believe they were led by God to this land.
That's right.
And there's a lot of things that took place when they got here, things maybe that weren't good that we don't agree with in history. But God works all things together for good. And now we can look back and we can appreciate
yes.
and be thankful and be grateful. And if you travel outside of our country, we just got back from a short little cruise. My husband and I and my parents visited a couple islands, and you see the poverty and you see how people live, and they do not have the conveniences that we have. They do not have availability to the luxuries and the things that we do take for granted. And my mom was like, wow, I can't believe how these people live, you know, so poor in these rundown houses. And, you know, I mean, we're by no means wealthy. We have decent little homes here. But my dad was like, yeah, we don't know how blessed we are that we live more comfortable and we're more prosperous than 90% of the world. But it's because we live in this country where we do have opportunity. We have rights. We have we have the ability to seek and to build a business, to start a business, to worship God, to raise our families, to teach them truths and righteousness. I mean, we're not restricted with that. And it's totally different in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, we got to remain thankful and grateful for what these forefathers did for us. I didn't realize this, that celebrations of the 4th of July became more common as the years went on. So from 1776, it was hardly celebrated, even though they, you know, there was that declaration. In 1870, almost 100 years after the declaration was written, Congress first declared July 4th to be a national holiday as part of a bill to officially recognize several holidays, including Christmas. Then further legislation about national holidays, including July 4th, was passed in 1939 and 1941. So that's pretty amazing. John Adams, who said that the 4th of July should be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. And we see that every year with fireworks and all kinds of things that take place in the nation. And again, we're just so grateful for those that went before us to create this wonderful nation. So our prayer this 4th of July is that you will be blessed and enjoy your families, enjoy the holiday, and always remember that someone made the sacrifice for you to live in this freedom.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, I'm thinking of this quote that I believe it was George Washington, but it says, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, in observing the hand of providence, George Washington said, "The federal Constitution should everything proceed with harmony and consent according to our actual wishes and expectations, will demonstrate as visibly the finger of providence as any possible event in the course of human affairs can ever designate it. And then in preserving the principles, Daniel Webster said, "I am committed to the Constitution of the country, and I'm committed against everything which in my judgment may weaken, endanger, or destroy, and especially against all extension of executive power, and I am committed against any attempt to rule the free people of this country by the power and the patronage of the government itself. Mm. On guarding virtue and freedom, Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Adams, he said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And in looking at education of the people, James Madison said, a well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people. Mm-hmm. And think about Thomas Jefferson. He said, the good sense of the people will always be found to be the best army. They may be led astray for a moment, but will soon correct themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book of Galatians, you know, doing a little comparison, because our founding fathers really, when the first book of law was written, Blackstone, the first chief justice, he wrote a book, the commentary on law, and he talked about, you know, freedom and liberty, but, you know, that was taken from the Old Testament. And when you look at Scripture, and when you look at how our jubilee in Christ is like a constitution for us as believers, it's pretty simple. When you look at Galatians chapter 5, he says, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law.
Yes.
Verse 5 says, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. And when people express themselves in love by the inspiration, by the supernatural power of the Word of God, it is our constitution as believers. And I really believe that, you know, in being set free from religion to practice, you know, when you're set free from it, it's that nobody lords over you and tells you how to worship God. But all these people that wrote the Constitution, you know, the majority of them were solid believers who believed the best for everyone.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and right before Article 1, the Constitution of the United States, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that means the next generation, those that are to come after us, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. We have a freedom to believe truth.
Amen. Amen. I mean, you think about these countries where they have dictators, you know, communism and socialism. We cannot imagine living under that type of oppression. And that is not, it doesn't at all line up with the Word of God, because they don't believe in the Word of God. They're atheists. They have their false gods. They have their false religions. They have their idols. We are not under that. And we, my prayer is that we would come back to the appreciation and the worship of our God that has given us this nation. It says in Psalm 33, verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we do declare that and decree that. And I believe, you know, as Christians, we should be declaring and decreeing that this nation does belong to the Lord. And he wants us to return to that firm foundation that it was founded on. It was built on the word of God. It was built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It was built on truth and righteousness. God loves justice. There's so many scriptures in the Psalms. You know, God yes. loves justice, and he is righteous, and he is for righteousness. What is his kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I you know, God bring, you know, my prayer is God bring this nation back to that a love, that a gratitude, that appreciation that we are not an oppressed people. And you know, government gets out of control, government gets too big, and we just got to bring the reins back. And that's what's happening right now, is shrinking the government, shrinking the control, you know, the dictation. We don't want to go down that path of dictatorship. You know, many people maybe weren't born in this country. Maybe they've come to this country, you know, later in their life, and they're maybe, if they're not a citizen, they might be... I forgot what it's called. If you're not a citizen, you have
green card.
Mm-hmm. You have a green card.
Immigrant.
Mm-hmm. Immigrant, you know, and it's beautiful. They wanted to come to this country, but they weren't to come to this country to make it like their country. Mm-hmm. Come to this country and you appreciate and receive and adapt the ways of our country. I remember in elementary school, we used to have music class and PE class. They used to have different... And I remember going to music class, and we would sing the patriotic songs. Mm-hmm. And, oh, Mrs. Pinheiro, my music teacher, we would sing those patriotic songs, and it would just pierce my heart.
Yes.
It would just stir me up, and it would bring such a joy just singing those songs about our country and thinking, wow, this is where I live. This is mm-hmm. my country. And that was that they were teaching us to love our country, appreciate our country, embrace our country, and know who we are, Americans, United States Americans, citizens of this country. And I think we've lost that they're not teaching that in the schools any longer. The appreciation of the country, the birth of the country, who we are, what we represent, I think it's gotten off track. Agreed?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and we stand with threats now of, like you were talking about, that other nations, you know, what they brought their beliefs with them to try to change what we believe. So for whatever reason, and it's the same as Christians, you know, that we escape the tyranny of Satan, you know, and we're placed in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet the threat is always there that the enemy would come and try to grab hold of us again and try to pull us back into the place of tyranny, that place of destruction, you mm-hmm. know, because we know that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. But that that there's a real threat in our nation today, that people who don't agree with our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. They don't like that. Just like Satan doesn't like when you walk in liberty, when you walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. The enemy doesn't like that. And he's going to do whatever he can to pull you back and pull you off track, like you were saying, Deanne, and to get you going over here in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like we need to pray for our nation today. You know, as much as we're celebrating, as much as we're, you know, having cookouts and doing all the things we do, we do have to pray. Those of us that know the Lord, to pray really that we'll be able to maintain for more years. You know, our nation is 250 years old, right?
Next year.
And we're still a very young nation.
Yes.
And we have to fight to maintain what was given to us by our forefathers. And just like the Israelites, when they were led out of Egypt, you know, the Lord told them to go in and take possession of the land and drive out anything that wasn't of him. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be vigilant and drive out through prayer the things that are ungodly. Mm-hmm. You know, people that have ungodly agendas. It's through the prayer of God's people.
Yes.
That, you know, that to help maintain that, like we're watchmen on the wall.
Yes.
And, you know, over this nation, all of us. And we need to be vigilant to pray and.
Amen. Well, we watch. I mean, it breaks my heart when I, you know, you look on the news, you see the burning of our flag. Who is burning our flag? Who doesn't love our nation? Who doesn't embrace and agree to abide by the laws and the Constitution of this nation? Should they be in this country? I mean, people came to this country for the good reasons, the right reasons. Now people are coming for the wrong reasons. And like you said, they want to bring their false gods. They want to bring their idols. They want to bring their ideology. This is a Christian Judeo nation. This is our Lord Jesus was a rabbi. He was a Jew, and we are in Christ. We are only grafted in, you know, through the Jewish people, and we love the Jewish people. We are for Israel. This country is a friend of Israel. We are a supporter of Israel. We do not condone evil. We do not condone terrorism. We don't condone the burning of our flags and the tearing down of our monuments and our statues of our history. Again, they were men. They were imperfect. You know, we don't agree with slavery. We know Christ calls us out of slavery to be free men. And there were a lot of things that took place, but that is time, and men grow, and men, you know, are taught by the Lord, and truths come forth, and then freedoms come. I mean, it's a progression, you know, as the Lord leads us and grows the nation. Like you said, we are a young nation, and there were evil ones that got in there, that came in and did those things, but we can't focus on that. We have to focus on the big picture.
Yes.
Again, this is a Christian, Judeo, Holy Bible, Word of God based country. And my prayer is that we will return to that, return to the ancient paths. I've seen a lot of things about returning to the ancient paths and the ancient purpose of this nation when it was founded.
Amen. Amen. And that's not saying that every person that lives in the nation has to be a believer. You know, it's that all men are created equal by God.
Yes.
It's just that our laws and the Constitution were all based on the Judeo-Christian values according to Scripture.
Yes.
And that, you know, of course, people are free, you know, their First Amendment rights, their free, you know, freedom of speech, and you can really say what you want as long as it's not threatening.
Peaceful.
Yes. And but we know that the way that God has designed things is the best way, the only way.
Yes.
And the nations that don't have God as their guide, that, you know, just fall into tyranny and fall into, you know, because the human heart is evil and people want what they want. Mm. But we do want to protect everything that we have here in America.
Yeah, and we do have to make him known. I mean, that's from the beginning, is to make him known, like in you know, Exodus 9:16, you know, it says, "But I have kept you in power for a reason, to show you my greater power and to see that my name and reputation spread through all the earth. No matter what, whether you follow him or not, we as children of God need to share him, need to express who he is in the nation. You know, mm-hmm. Psalm 145, I love what it says here. Number four, it says, one generation after another will celebrate your great works. So we need to be celebrating his great works no matter what, whether mm-hmm. that person chooses to believe or not. We, as children of God, we need yes. to. And it says, they will pass on the story of your powerful acts to their children. We are to pass down the story, right, to their children. And it continues to say, your majesty and glorious splendor have captivated me. I will meditate on your wonders and sing songs of your worth. We confess there is nothing greater than you, God, nothing mightier than your awesome works. I will tell of your greatness as long as I have breath. The news of your rich goodness is no secret. Your people love to recall it and sing songs of joy to celebrate your righteousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And even in the book of Acts, we know they were in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them, wait. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we, this nation being free and being blessed, and, you know, God is our Lord, we have been an evangelizing nation. You know, that's why the word of God in Timothy, it says, pray for those that are in authority, mm-hmm. for the kings and those that are in authority, that it may be well with you, and that there may be peace, and that the gospel can go forth. You know, God's heart is for the good news, the gospel, to go forth. We should be able to do that freely without repercussion, without getting condemned, without getting, you know, attacked. Like you said, Nanette, mm-hmm. if someone doesn't want to listen, they don't want to receive it, that's their free will, that's mm-hmm. their choice. But we should be able to speak freely and share the good news, share the gospel. We want to live peaceful lives, and God says that when we pray for those in authority, that we mm-hmm. shall have peaceful lives for the gospel to go forth. And we are ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. We are his ambassadors. That's what we were created for when we're born again. We are to be showing forth Jesus Christ. We are his disciples. We are his body. We are his ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And this nation allows that to happen. We have those freedoms, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if we continue on, right, Psalm 146, if you go all the way down to, let's go with number three. It says, do not put your trust in the rulers of this world, kings and princes. Do not expect any rescue from mortal man. As soon as their breath leaves them, they return to the earth. On that day, all of them perish, their dreams, their plans, and their memories. But blessed are those whose help comes from the God of Jacob, mm-hmm. whose hope is centered in the eternal, their God, who created the heavens and the earth, the seas, and all that lives within them, who stays true and remains faithful forever. This is our God, right? He stays true and remains faithful forever, who works justice for those who are pressed down by the world, providing food for those who are hungry. The Eternal frees those who are imprisoned. He makes the blind see. He lifts up those whose backs are bent in labor. He cherishes those who do what is right. The Eternal looks after those who journey in a land not their own. He takes care of the orphan and the widow, and he frustrates the wicked along the way. And that's my prayer, that God continues to frustrate the wicked mm-hmm. along their way. And the Eternal will reign today, tomorrow, and forever. People of Zion, your God will rule forever over all the nation. And yes, Lord, you will rule. You do rule over the nations, over the earth. over all of us. You rule. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You know, in that there's a different cultural and spiritual tradition pertaining to the difference between 4th of July and Jesus Christ being our Jubilee. They really do relate because they both highlight the importance of freedom and renewal. And while the 4th of July celebrates national independence, the biblical idea of Jesus as Jubilee celebrates spiritual liberation and restoration, offering a fresh start.
Amen.
And eternal freedom. So we can be so thankful for the natural and the supernatural, what we have as Americans and what we have as believers in Christ. It really, really works together. It works very, very well.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. True justice, you know, is with righteousness. So remember that, listeners, that, you know, we could say, oh, so-and-so needs justice for this and justice for that. And, you know, yeah, we have a lot of what we think requires justice. But if there's no righteousness within the justice, mm-hmm. it's not justice. It's not the justice of God. So just keep that in mind.
Amen. You know, God's one of God's attributes is called holiness. But what are we called to by glory and virtue? Holiness, mm-hmm. to live that kind of life. And when you look at the Constitution of the United States and all the amendments, you know, what kind of people was this written to? Because interwoven within the framework of our Constitution is that which really upholds law. And, you know, law, if you look at Old Testament law, it was, you know, inward, outward, upward, or you could say the law was there was a moral law, a civil law, mm-hmm. and a ceremonial law. And within those laws, you know, if you look at it from the simplicity of what was really written in Old Testament scripture, the moral law has to do with how you are in and of yourself. The ceremonial law has to do with your relationship with God, while the civil law has to do with how you operate and respond to others. So it's just the Constitution was written so that we would have these freedoms and these liberties and not have to veer from them, you know. And it was President John F. Kennedy that said, you know, a week before he was assassinated, he said, if we ever have a real problem in this country, the problem is never going to come from without. You know, all of our presidents really believed in the sovereignty of God. And when he said that, he said, the problem's not going to come from without. The problem is going to come from within. And even when we've had problems over the years, isn't it something how what we believe and what we think based upon truth, no matter how it looks, it seems like it just keeps working itself out so that we, the people, can keep serving him.
Mm. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And isn't he the one that said, ask not what your country can do for you?
Yes.
But what you can do for your country. And thank God for all of those men and women that are in our armed forces and in civil yes. servant jobs, and they are serving our country. They are giving their lives and taking their families with them on the journey of serving our country and doing for our country. Mm-hmm. And without them, we would not be a country. So thank you. If you've served in the military, we thank you for your service. If you are a veteran or if you are active duty, if you're retired, we thank you for your service so that this country can continue in who we're supposed to be.
Amen. And my prayer is that righteousness will exalt this nation.
Amen.
In a greater degree than we've ever known, and that that God will restore the years that the enemy has stolen from this nation.
Yes.
Through people who had ungodly agendas.
Yes.
And, you know, and my prayer is just that, God, you would bring restoration to the nation.
Yes, Father.
And, Lord, that you would reform the nation.
Yes.
Better than it was before, yes, from the beginning, like an enhancement to how it was envisioned by the forefathers. Lord, that this time in the nation, this time of this pulling and pushing and all of these different things going on, that, Father, you would bring restoration to how you initially wanted it, and that you would strengthen the nation to move forward in order to have that more perfect union that was desired from the beginning. And Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy over the nation. We thank you, Father, that we can call upon you, and you will answer, God. And even in your word, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and pray to you, God, that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive their sins, and you will heal their land.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray for a healing of the nation, Lord.
Yes.
Father, that those that once trusted in you, God, that have turned away from you, that their hearts would be drawn back to you, Jesus. Individual hearts, in individual lives, God, people that have given up on things. There are many that have given up on the nation, which, you know, in a sense has allowed other things to come in and begin to rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by neglect, even if we neglect our own life and our time with you and that the intimate time with you, Jesus. When we forget that, then we end up suffering, mm-hmm, to such a degree that it becomes painful, and then we finally realize that we drifted from you. Yes. And then when we return to you, God, that you're always forgiving, you always forgive us, and then we get back on track and can, yes, start again, Lord.
Mm. Yes, Father.
So, Father, I just pray individually, God, that you touch every person in this nation, Lord, and draw them to yourself. Bring them back to you, Jesus. And that there would be a hunger and a thirst for you, God, over and above everything else. And that, Lord, that the plans of the enemy, the wicked agendas of evil men, will be brought to nothing. And that the plans and purposes that you have for the nation, Lord, will become the light, that will become the important thing, that will become the thing that is visible, is the desire that you have for this nation, God. Lord, that our hearts would be open to you, our hearts would see what you desire of this nation. And we thank you, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace and your mercy. Mm-hmm. And we just say thank you, and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for prayer being welcomed and active in our White House, in our government once again, Father God. We know that there are a couple generations that did not have prayer in the classroom. They didn't have, you know, I know we had prayer in the classroom, and we had the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm, and we would sing, the song God Bless America, and Father, the Ten Commandments were active in the schools and in the courts, and all of that was removed, Father. So we have an ignorant, because they don't know, God, they don't know. They weren't raised with it in their homes, or they weren't raised with it in the school and the education. So we thank you for restoring that, Father, that prayer and Pledge of Allegiance and the Ten Commandments, that the fear of the Lord, the honoring of God, would be restored unto every system especially the education and the government, Father God, in this nation, that it could be filtered out to the people. We decree and declare, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Well, Father, we decree and declare that this nation shall be called a nation of prayer, even as we have one day that we dedicate to National Day of Prayer, that's in May. Father, we pray that every day would be a National Day of Prayer, that this country would be seeking you and praying and knowing that you hear and that you will move, that you will answer, that you will manifest your goodness, your power, your glory, that you will restore this nation unto righteousness, O God, that we would be a righteous people, fearing you, honoring you. And it's not about pleasing man or appeasing man, Father God. It's about honoring, obeying, and pleasing and reverencing you, God. Bring us back to that place of reverential fear and awe of our Creator, you, God Almighty.
Lord, we just thank you that we can still cry aloud, we can spare not, and we can lift up our voices because we are a voice. Your people are your voice. And you said in Psalm chapter 2, only ask, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. You will break them with an iron and smash them like clay pots. Now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal Son, or he will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of your activities. For the angel flares up in an instant, but what joy for all who take refuge in him.
Amen. 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 All right, so we just have a couple of minutes left. So this was our crash course in the Declaration. And, you know, if we, you know, have any errors or mistakes about that, then forgive us. But there's a lot of information that's available about our Declaration and our history. And again, like I said before, I plan to read more and get back into the history of the nation, because we want to cherish everything that we've been given and be thankful for all that God has given us, mm-hmm. and to acknowledge him,
yeah,
because he's great and he's greatly to be praised. And he rules and reigns over all of it. And, you know, I saw, to end with, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of weeks ago, and they were asking him about all the chaos and everything that was taking place in the nation. And Arnold had said when he came to the United States in 1969 that there was Watergate and there was all these other, you know, upheaval and the Vietnam War and all these other things were going on. But Arnold said, you know, but those things, you know, we got through them, we got over them, and so it will be as well with any chaotic things that are going in the nation now. So we just want to wish everyone a very happy 4th of July, and we will be back next week. Thank you.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Penny Cook with a moment to pursue prayer for America. It seems things are looking darker every day in our country, but there is always hope when we pray. But it can seem daunting to know how to pray when things seem so out of control. That's when I like to pray scripture. Would you join me now in praying the scriptural prayer for hope for America? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of all hope. Please lead our country back to you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in America. Do not let us be led by the temptations of the world, but deliver us from the schemes of the evil one. What our enemies mean for evil, turn it for our good. Lord, our hope is in you. We ask for you to guide us and our leadership in righteousness so we would be able to lead lives of peace and godliness. Lord, we seek the welfare of our nation, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of the welfare of every nation we can be a blessing to. May you continue to bless America so we can continue to be a blessing to the world. Restore our strength that we may continue to feed the hungry. Help those in trouble and shine your light in dark places. Thank you that you are the hope of all the world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks for praying with me. If you'd like to know more about praying for America or the scriptures that we used in this prayer, you can go to pennycookauthor.com. That's Cook with an E, pennycookauthor.com. And let's keep praying for America.